Warning, the following broadcast contains adult language, adult content, frank safety discussions, and stories that might sound unbelievable. But believe me, every one of those stories is true. We didn't start the safety war, but we are going to fight to win it. For our families, for our communities, for our workplaces, and for our lives. And welcome to hour two of Safety Wars. Maybe I should name it something else. Jim Poles After Dark. Safety Wars After Dark. Then it sounds like a, you know, one of those shows that used to be on the old 97.1 FM back in the 80s. And you know who what I'm talking about, some of you listeners that I went to high school with. Right? They had all these relationship. And Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Right? So, anyway, what an earful we used to, what an education we used to get from Dr. Ruth. Unbelievable. Anyway, so what's this hour two? Hour two is real simple. We talk politics here with everything. Now, so, you know, hour one, we're on Safety FM. That's live. And we talk about safety, a little bit of politics when it intersects with safety. But here we basically go on pure politics here for this. Now, I was in a meeting last night with a voter education group. And just as a reminder, I was involved in politics for many years, and I don't endorse any candidates, at least officially on the air, but I do, when they pay me to, go for it. I'm not an apologist for any candidate, but we're about here analysis, Jim's thoughts, Jim's opinions. It's about education. Why did we start doing this recently? Number one, it's important to get in on the beginning of the election cycle. And you can say, well, Jim, we just had one in November. Oh, guess what? The election for 2028 started the Wednesday after the election. Regardless of who you voted for, if you like the election turnout, if you like the results, didn't like the results, were ambivalent in the Israel. It started the day after the election. We try to take a little bit of a break between then, and I try to get some interest to see. No, I started this hour too. Let's try to get some interest. Guess what? We got overwhelming results. You should have been doing this all the time. Well, okay, when you pay my freaking bills, then you can dictate to me, right, on how we do this. Here. So, no, we're talking politics. We're not endorsing any one side, but what we want is reason and truth. That's what we're doing here. So we're going to go through some of these here press releases. And again, he's only been in office 2.5 days, essentially. And we're already up to 7 pages. So we're going to do a share screen here of some of this stuff. Oh, hold on. Let's go to commercial break here. Real quick, and we'll do that when we come back. Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Poelzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. So, yeah, that was my brother. He didn't realize I'm on hour two. He should be watching and listening here. What we're going to talk about, and we're going to do a share screen here with this, because we want, and this is what happens, we get filters all over the top, let's get a filter. Like, hey, we're going to, no, that's not what this means. No, that's what it means. And we want reality here. So some of the ones that we went over already, let's switch on over to the document camera here. So here we have reforming the federal hiring process, restoring merit to government-based service. We talked about this. Now, people are like, well, Jim, you know, what's the big deal? Well, Department of Labor last year, when they're the ones who started this. Well, what do you mean they're the ones that started this? Right, right. If you're listening to Hour 1, we went into the November 13th document from Department of Labor and Department of Commerce. They had a joint document that said hire on merit, basically. So, and knowledge and experience, and no, don't worry about the 4-year degree here. Well, here we have reforming the federal hiring process and restoring merit to government service. Golly. The Biden administration was saying everybody should do, Trump is now saying, okay, not only are we going to sell, well, I seriously doubt that someone on the thing read it, unless they were on here, because we do know that there is one mainstream radio talk show host that does, and I inadvertently found out about it, listen to this. I doubt that he was looking at that document, but here we go. Document camera acting up. Okay, with that. All right, here we have return to in per work. All right, heads of all departments and agencies in the executive branch of the government shall, as soon as practicable, take all necessary steps to terminate remote work arrangements. And I'll add this, that were set up during the pandemic and require employees to return to work in person at their respective duty stations on a full-time basis. Provided that the department and agency heads shall make exemptions as they deem necessary. This memorandum shall be implemented consistent with applicable law. Here we have one on the environment. Putting America first in international agreements. By the authority vested in me, as president of the Constitution, going on and on. All of them start basically the same way. Here is our orders. Section 1, purpose. The U.S. must grow its economy and maintain jobs for its citizens while playing a leadership role in global efforts to protect the environment. Over the decades, with the help of sensible policies that do not encumber private sector activity, the United States has simultaneously grown its economy, raised worker wages, and increased energy production, reduced air and water pollution. That is true on that. And reduced greenhouse gas emissions. The U.S. successful track record advancing both economic and environmental objectives should be a model for other countries. In recent years, the U.S. has purported to join international agreements and initiatives that do not reflect our country's values or contributions to the pursuit of economic and environmental objectives. This is usually, or something like this, when I go away for political education meetings, this is what we cover, stuff like this. Moreover, these agreements steer American taxpayer dollars to countries that do not require or merit financial assistance in the interest of the American people. Code word, China and other countries. All right, I don't know about China, but, you know, China's giving us money, so it's like a weird thing here. But there are other countries that do not merit this, at least in the president's opinion. It's a policy of my administration to put the interests of the U.S. and the American people first in the development and negotiation of any international agreements with the potential to damage or stifle the American economy. These agreements must not unduly or unfairly burden the United States. The United States ambassador to the U.N. shall immediately submit formal written notification of the United States' withdrawal from the Paris Agreement under the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. The notice shall be submitted to the Secretary General of the United States, the depository of the agreement, attached in Appendix A, and going on with that. So we're out. You can go and look at it for yourself. I'm not going to read everything. Now, let me comment on this. For years, I had as a mentor a UN ambassador. here. You could go look that up. And one of the things that he had said to me was, and I developed a relationship with him pretty well. One of the things that he had stated to me on all of this was when we go to negotiate in front of the UN, right? Basic game theory, you go and you advocate for your side. The other side advocates for their side. And then you come to a Nash equilibrium sort of thing, right? Where you're together. John Nash, A Beautiful Mind, Russell Crowe movie. Go and check it out. But you reach what is called Nash equilibrium, and where things balance out, right? You advocate for your side. I advocate for my side. United States typically does not do that. Has a history of not doing that. With this, and that's, I think, what upset the rock, upset the apple cart when Trump came in. Well, hey, he's a negotiator. He knows whether you love him or you hate him. No one's gonna deny, without looking foolish, that the man negotiates. That's what the man does. He negotiates. So what? What's my point is, he negotiates. He goes in there and says, what the flip is this? Why am I advocating for us? Why am I advocating for you? It's like our own ambassadors are not advocating for us. This is how we come up with these lopsided agreements, at least according to my mentor here with this. And that's probably, if I had to guess, it's probably where he's going on this. Right? Here's, let's get the other camera here, right? I'll get our other camera here. It's got to be reprogrammed, right? So I go, like you see, I got the whole background here and the and everything. We got to get rid of that thing. Fix that. All right. So withdrawing the United States from the World Health Organization. This is another one that piqued my interest. So this is a safety thing. Withdrawing the United Nations from the World Health Organization by the authority vested in me as president of the Constitution, by the Constitution, laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered. Section 1, purpose. All right, the United States notices its withdrawal from the World Health Organization in 2020 due to its organization's mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic that arose out of Wuhan, China. Again, we covered the congressional report on this, and we will cover it again. And that is why Fauci and many others, because of those two congressional reports, got pardons because they broke the law lying to Congress. You cannot lie to, allegedly, all right, allegedly, according to the document. You cannot go around lying to Congress and it's okay. Can't do that. All right, people go to jail for that. Organizations mishandling COVID-19 pandemic that arose out of Wuhan, China, and other global health crises, its failure to adopt urgently needed reforms, and its inability to demonstrate the independence from the inappropriate political influence of WHO member states, a.k.a. China. That one's definitely China. Did you know that Taiwan is not a member of the WHO because China said, we'll take care of them, they're a breakaway province? Really? So the whole, you know, Taiwanese government, no, they don't get the quote-unquote benefit of WHO. The United States intends to withdraw from the WHO. The presidential letter to the Secretary General of the United Nations signed on January 20th, 2021 that retracted the U.S. decision of July 6th, 2020 notification withdrawal is revoked. Okay. How's that going to, I don't know. With a lot of these international agreements here, they are not, they're not equal. Let's face it, they're not equal. They're not equally, we're not equally yoked with anybody here. We're the ones paying for all this stuff. This is the argument here. Again, they knew this was coming. The internationalists out there know and everything. Populism is on the rise, not only in the United States, but now it's gone into Canada. It's gone into Western Europe. Eastern Europe, forget about it. Populism has been there. and they can't read the tea leaves. And I think this is what's really upset the apple cart with everything. Right, because they wanted to get that, and I'm not the first one to say this, but I'm the, you know, I've thought about this way since at least 1992 here, my entire adult life, where they really are, there's an other stuff going on here outside of the government with a lot of these international groups. I'm sorry, you know who they are. At a certain point, you got to say something. I'm not saying abandon them. I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm not saying anything like that. But what I'm saying is you got to acknowledge, at least, say, look, your values are not our values. These are our values. Those are your values. You don't say, well, oh, those are your values that we got to go after and we have to become more like you. No, that's not it. You know, it seems like there's no compromise here. So unleashing American energy. Here, this is an executive order, and America is blessed with an abundance of energy and natural resources. I'm not advocating, I'm not being an apologist. I am just looking at facts here, because they're talking executive orders, but nobody actually reads them here. By the authority vested in me as president, America is blessed with an abundance of energy. In recent years, burdensome and ideologically motivated regulations have impeded the development of these resources, limited the generation of reliable and affordable electricity, reduced job creation, and inflicted high energy costs upon our citizens. These high energy costs devastate the American consumers by driving up the cost of transportation, heating, utilities, and farming, and manufacturing while weakening our national security. Right? It is thus in the national interest to unleash America's affordable and reliable energy and natural resources. This will restore American prosperity, build our nation's economic and military security. Well, let's see. That may or may not be true here. Let's see what happens here. Oh, I can lighten and darken this too, right? Policy. It is the policy of the United States to encourage energy exploration on federal lands, to establish our position as a leading producer and processor of non-fuel minerals, including rare earth metals. Now, how are they going to get around? My question is, how are we going to get around all the mineral rights that sovereign nations have bought in this country? How are we going to get around those? To protect the United States' economic and national security and military preparedness by ensuring that an abundant supply of reliable energy is readily accessible in every state and territory, to ensure that all regulatory requirements related to energy are grounded in clearly applicable law, to eliminate the electric vehicle mandate. My question here is this. They're talking about safeguarding the American people's freedom to choose from a variety of foods and appliances, including but not limited to light bulbs, dishwashers, washing machines, gas stoves, water heaters, toilets, and shower heads, and to promote market competition and innovation within the manufacturing and appliance industries. So a lot of states like New York, they're trying to get rid of gas after decades of promoting them. Now they're talking about getting rid of gas stoves. That's what he's talking about here. To ensure that the global effects of a rule, regulation, or action shall, whenever evaluated, be reported separately from its domestic costs and benefits in order to promote sound regulatory decision-making and prioritize the interests of the American people. In other words, they were combining the costs of the cost-benefit analysis, including the costs to everybody else. So that's going to be separated here with this. And here we go. Immediate review of all agency actions that potentially burden the development of domestic energy resources. Within 30 days from the date of this order, the head of each agency shall, in consultation with the OMB and NEC, National Economic Council, develop and begin implementing action plans to suspend, revise, or rescind all agency actions identified unduly burdensome under subsection A of this paragraph. And this goes on and on and on here. So what else we got here? Revitalizing, again, they're rescinding a lot of executive orders here with this. Here, related with basically all this environmental stuff, all these executive orders. Now, here, now let's talk about this for a second. With these executive orders, this is the problem with ruling by executive order. Well, Jim, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, if you're going to continue to rule by executive order, and President Trump, believe me, they're paying attention to this on the other side. When one of their people gets in, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to come in and they're going to issue 7 pages of documents, executive orders in 2.5 days, and they're going to undo all of this. The other thing that's there, and if you're going to be in Congress, I'm going to suspect that they're going to use some of this stuff as these executive orders that were rescinded. They're going to use this as templates, as templates for regulation and law with this. So this is, you know, how long? I don't know. We'll see. All actions, programs, and operations associated with the American Climate Corps, including actions taken by any agency, shall be terminated immediately. And, I mean, it goes all the way through. Again, a lot of stuff rescinded on here. Oh. With this and accuracy and environmental assessments. Is that what this is? Prioritizing agency analysis. Accuracy and environmental analysis. Let's get the document camera back up here. And the interagency, all federal permitting adjudications and regulatory processes, all agencies shall adhere to the only the relevant legislative requirements for environmental considerations, and any considerations beyond this requirement, these requirements are eliminated. So, in other words, if Congress wants this stuff put back, they're going to have to put it back with this. Now, again. They could have memorialized a lot of this stuff within this, with the agencies and, over the last 4 years. And especially as, we go back over the last 50 some years, my lifetime, the Democrats are in control. They could have memorialized a lot of this stuff in legislation. With us, and when they had Democratic rule of the houses, and the House or the Senate and the presidency, why they didn't do it? I have, you know, again, incrementalism. We're going to do things slowly. Blah blah blah. Again, that they only have themselves to blame on here. Restoring America's mineral dominance, and everything else. Okay. Putting people over fish, stopping radical environmentalism to provide water to Southern California. I have a feeling this has to do with the wildfires. This is a memorandum for the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of the Interior. Stop radical environmentalism to provide water to Southern California. I hereby direct. However, let me point out is that one family is in control of a lot of these water resources. And I think you need to address that based on what I know. I hereby direct the Secretary of Commerce and Secretary of the Interior in consultation with the heads of other departments and agencies of the U.S. states as necessary to immediately restart the work for my first administration by the National Marine Fisheries Service, blah, 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 and all these other agencies, to route more water from the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta to other parts of the state for use by the people who were desperately need a reliable water supply. During my first term in the state of California, at the direction of its governor, filed a lawsuit to stop my administration from implementing improvements to California's water infrastructure. And everything else. They were looking to protect the Delta smelt and other species of fish. Today, this enormous water supply flows wastefully into the Pacific Ocean. The recent deadly and historical destructive wildfires in Southern California underscore why the state of California needs a reliable water supply and sound vegetation management practices in order to provide water desperately needed there, why this plan must be immediately re-implemented. Again, this is a long-term plan. I've commented on this already. Declaring a national energy emergency by the authority vested in me as president, going on and on, the energy and critical minerals identification, leasing, development, production, transportation, refining, and generation capacity, the United States are all far too inadequate to meet our nation's needs. We need a reliable, diversified, and affordable supply of energy to drive our nation's manufacturing, transportation, agriculture, and defense industries, and to sustain the basics of modern life and military preparedness. Caused by the harmful and short-sighted policies of the previous administration, our nation's inadequate energy supply and infrastructure causes... Again, when Biden came in the first couple of days, he got rid of the pipelines that they were building. Put 50,000 people out of work, but that was okay. Right? They'll find another job, is what they were told. Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe other people will find another job. Isn't that wonderful? You're planning on having a nice long career with the federal government and you get thrown out? That's not fair. This active threat to the American people from high energy prices is exacerbated by our nation's diminished capacity to insulate itself from hostile foreign actors. So, basically, energy security is national security. This is a 10-page document here. You go through it with that. Restoring freedom of speech and ending federal censorship by the authority vested in me as president, blah, blah, blah. First Amendment, the United States Constitution, enshrines the right of the American people to speak freely in the public square without government interference. Over the last 4 years, the previous administration trampled free speech rights by censoring American speech on online platforms. Right? Exerting substantial and coercive pressure on third parties, such as social media companies, to moderate, deplatform, and otherwise suppress speech that the federal government did not approve under the guise of combating misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. I was a victim of this originally before this program even started in 2020. I got dinged because I gave a respiratory protection lecture. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Certified safety professional, 25 years experience at that time, or 28 years experience at that time. Someone from Facebook complained because they saw something on TikTok, probably. All right. Again, double check all this. This is why I don't go into too much commentary. I read mostly these documents on the air. Again, protecting the rights of free speech. And Zuckerberg has already changed the policy on his platforms. All right. Going on. Restoring accountability to policy influencing positions within the federal workforce. Purpose, United States Article 2 of the United States Constitution vests the president with the sole and exclusive authority over the executive branch, including the authority to manage the federal workforce and ensure effective execution of the federal law. So James Jr., you're doing this in social studies here. This is what it is right here, right? Only 41% of civil service supervisors have confidence they can remove an employee who engaged in insubordination or serious misconduct. Even fewer supervisors are confident that they can remove an employee for poor performance. Here. Oh, wasn't that like on, maybe I should have talked about this around 20 minutes ago. November 13, 2024, DOL issued a doc this on this, right? I guess they weren't talking about themselves. Right? Accountability is essential. And basically, they're making this easier to fire people and discipline them in the federal workforce. Now, here we have two things here. This one is actually pretty funny here. With it. Now, you got to giggle over this. But they already started. It's already entered the vernacular and the colloquialism. Changing the names of, renaming of Mount McKinley, President William McKinley, blah, 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 and everything, the Spanish-American War. They named the mountain out of him, right? And it gives the whole history here, and this is pretty interesting if you're into the history. The secretary shall, they renamed it and reinstate the name Mount McKinley from Denali, I guess it was. I didn't know that they really changed the name here. Got by me. Here, so it changes it from whatever it is to back to Mount McKinley. I didn't know that they changed it. I don't know. No, it's... So, and that's number one. What's even funnier is this, the Gulf of America. Right? The part, the national parks surrounding the area will, shall retain the name Denali National Park and Preserve. The Secretary of will work with this. They're going to work. The Secretary of the Interior shall work with the Alaska Native entities and state and local organizations to adopt names from landmarks to honor the history and culture of the Alaskan people. Section 4, Gulf of America. The area formerly known as Gulf of Mexico has long been an integral asset to our once burgeoning nation and has remained an indelible part of America. The Gulf was a critical artery for going on and on and on, 1,700-mile coastline, and it is going to be called the Gulf of America. Pretty funny when you consider that, right? Now, here's another one. Now, these other two here, right? Protecting American people against invasion here. Again, this is with the border that they're dealing with. Enforcing immigration laws and everything else. That's been covered time immemorial on other programs. But here's the big one here. Right, I only heard, and I mentioned this on social media. I'm not, and I'm one of the few, and we're one of the few here, commentators here, that is actually pointed this out from what I've seen. Protecting the United States from foreign terrorists and other national security and public safety threats. Right? It is a policy of the United States to protect its citizens from aliens who intend to commit terrorist acts, threaten our national security, espouse hateful ideology, or otherwise exploit immigration laws for malevolent purposes. Here, right? We zoom in a little. Here. To protect Americans, the United States must be vigilant during the visa issuance process to ensure that employers, that those aliens approved for admission to the United States do not intend to harm Americans and or our national interests. More importantly, the United States must identify them before their admission or entry into the United States. And the United States must ensure that admitted aliens and aliens otherwise already present in the U.S. do not bear hostile attitudes towards its citizens, culture, government, institutions, or founding principles. And there's going to be an enhanced vetting and screening process with this. Okay. Within 60 days of the date of this order, the Secretary of State, the Attorney General and Homeland Security, Secretary of Homeland Security, and the Director of National Intelligence shall jointly submit to the President, right, identifying countries throughout the world for which vetting and screening information is so deficient as to warrant a partial or full suspension on the admission of nationals from those countries. Identifying how many nationals from those countries have entered or have been admitted into the United States on or since January 20, 2021, and any other information, deemed relevant. When information as identified was for the exclusion or removal of any alien described in subsection 2B, the Secretary of Homeland Security shall take immediately steps to remove that alien unless she determines that doing so would inhibit a significant pending investigation or prosecution of the alien for a serious criminal offense or will be contrary to national security of the interests of the U.S. They shall also evaluate and adjust all existing regulations, policies, and procedures and provisions of the Foreign Service Manual, right, to ensure safety and security of the American people. And that's basically it. We're going to go and take a brief commercial break. And we'll come back at you here. Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Pozel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Pozel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
All right. So I have the WhiteHouse.gov webpage. Again, this is all copyright free, open source, and everything else. And again, just peruse through it. This is page 6. President Trump designates chairman and acting chairman, flying the flag in the inaugural address. Initial rescissions of harmful executive orders. We covered some of this. Ending the weaponization of the federal government. Again, that was a very in-depth congressional report that documented that whole thing. Regulatory freeze pending review. Do not propose or issue any rule in any matter, including by sending the rule to the Office of the Federal Register until a department or agency head appointed and designated by the President afternoon on January 2025 reviews and approves the rule. So I guess that would include all the like the heat stress rule and everything else being on hold. That's how I am reading this here with this. So that impacts safety and a couple of other things. There's a hiring freeze, except for some appointments and some other related stuff. America First trade policy. Memorandum to resolve the backlog with security clearances for executive office and the president personnel. Declaring a national emergency at the southern border of the United States. So let's click on that one. America's sovereignty is under attack. Our southern border is overrun by cartels, criminal gangs, known terrorists, human traffickers, smugglers, unvetted military-age males from foreign adversaries, and illicit narcotics, and harm Americans. Going on. Murders from cartels, criminal gangs. Cartels have begun seizing control over parts of cities, also in the United States. Here, attacking our most vulnerable citizens and terrorizing Americans beyond the control of local government. I'm thinking the one in Aurora, Colorado, that apartment building. The assault on the American people and integrity of America's sovereignty borders represent a grave threat. Because of the gravity and emergency, this present danger and imminent threat is necessary for the armed forces to take all appropriate action to assist the Department of Homeland Security in obtaining full operational control of the southern border. Hereby declare a national state of emergency at the southern border exists, meaning that it was, and hereby declare that a national emergency exists. I've gotten into a debate with somebody else on what this means. When it says exists, it means that there already was one, right? Versus, and now it now exists, meaning today. It exists, meaning it before this order, there was already an emergency. Provide additional authority to the Department of Defense to support the federal government's response to the emergency at the southern border. I hereby declare no armed services. The Secretary of Defense or Secretary of each relevant military department as appropriate. Going on and on. Physical barriers. They're going to build the wall. Unmanned aerial systems in there. And now here's my question here. And so known terrorists, our southern border is overrun by cartels, criminal gangs, known terrorists. Okay. Now my question is, and there's some argument on there. Are the cartels terrorists according to Trump administration? All right, let's see what this says. It's from USA Today from 3 hours ago. Donald Trump signed several executive orders saying how his administration plans to designate certain cartels and criminal groups as terrorists, invoke the Alien Enemies Act. Okay, is the Alien Enemies Act mentioned in here. Is this it? Edit. Find. No, it must be another executive order. Not in here. If that is true, here, okay, we're just scrolling through here, see if anything came up. Clarifying the military's role in protecting the territorial integrity of the United States. Again, a national emergency exists. The no later than 10 days from the effective date of this order delivered to the President a revision to the Unified Command Plan that assigns the United States Northern Command, U.S. NORTHCOM, the mission to seal the borders and maintain sovereignty and territorial integrity. On here, and it goes on through here, and let's see. All right, that wasn't there. I want to see exactly Oh, here it is. Protecting the United States from, this is probably what it is. Again, the same thing. We said it here. Enhanced vetting and screening of people coming into the country. Again, here's another environmental one. We just... temporary withdrawal of all areas on the outer continental shelf from offshore wind leasing and review of the federal government's leasing and permitting practices for wind projects. I was offered a position here with a company doing this, and I guess good thing I didn't take it because I'd be out of a job. Safety is the first one to go. Ending illegal DEI, I guess, is where we have where everybody DEI related is going to be removed from the removing DEI from the FAA, keeping America safe in the aviation. Guaranteeing the state's protection against invasion. Develop designating cartels. Here we go. And other organizations as foreign terrorist organizations. Now, this is what the problem here is. We're going to read this, and then we're going to call it a day. The international cartels constitute a national security threat beyond that posed by traditional organized crime. And going on here, converging themselves. Under the cartels have engaged in a campaign of violence and terror throughout the Western Hemisphere that not only destabilized countries with significant importance of our national interests, but also flooded the U.S. with drugs, violent criminals, and vicious gangs. The cartels functionally control through a campaign of assassination, terror, rape, and brute force nearly all illegal traffic across the southern border of the United States. Certain portions of Mexico, they function as quasi-governmental entities, controlling nearly all aspects of society. The cartels' activities threaten the safety of the American people. Their activities, proximity is an intrusion, incursions. This has been going on for like 15, 20 years, that going across the border, and nobody does a damn thing about it. I'm sorry. I mean, with military equipment also. Been well documented here. Not necessarily recently, but it's been well documented. I talked to people who have been on the southern border, and the military has always had a presence there. Here, going on, transnational, right? So this is what the problem is here with this executive order here. And what the problem here is this. You're an immigrant family, you're a migrant, whatever we want to call, and if you give money to the cartels to bring you across, or you buy the drugs, you're a drug dealer coming across, anything like that, now you're aiding and abetting, right, and materially giving material to a terrorist organization. Right, these coyotes are working for the cartels, allegedly, from my understanding of this. Now you're paying the coyotes, you are paying the cartels, now you have an issue. Because now you're aiding and abetting terrorists. Just calling it like I see it. There's a talk I spoke to yesterday, somebody in the New York City school district, nobody official, really, that can't, no, they're not going to go on the record here, obviously, that the schools were told not to cooperate with ICE. Now, are they aiding and abetting people who are aiding and abetting terrorists? I don't know. Are these cities now aiding and abetting people who are involved with terrorism? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. At all, someone said, well, Jimmy, what do you think about this? And I said very plainly, it all depends on how far down this rabbit hole everybody wants to go. And that's basically it. Yeah, this is all good, but how far down that rabbit hole do we really want to go? So that's all I got for tonight. We went almost 2 hours here for this. And as I say, no, hour two is politics. It's not on Safety FM. But that's what it is. So I will see you, God willing, tomorrow. Oh, hit all the buttons at one time.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.